Chapter 2. I sifted through some photographs until I found the reason why I was up here so early. I propped the color shot over the screen of my open laptop and did what I'd been doing a lot of in the last few weeks, memorizing one of the faces in it. The photograph showed three men standing in a rundown Mexican street beside a brand new fire engine red Ford Super Duty pickup truck. Two of the men were wearing bandanas and baseball caps to cover their faces and gripped AR-15 assault rifles with extended clips. Between them stood a bareheaded, broad-shouldered, light-skinned black man. A gold Cartier tank watch was just visible above the cuff of his dark, tailored suit as he smoothed an Hermes tie. I stared at the man in the middle, his pale blue eyes, his cropped salt-and-pepper hair, his expensive attire, smiling as he glanced in the direction of the camera. The handsome, dusky-skinned black man had the casual grace of a model or a sports star. He was a star, all right. A Death Star. The man's name was Manuel the Sun King Perrin, and he was the notorious drug kingpin who ran the Tepito drug cartel, the most violent in Mexico. 2 years earlier, Perrin had had two U.S. Border Patrol agents and their families murdered in Arizona and burned their houses to the ground. Though the ruthless killer and Forbes magazine-listed billionaire had been in a Mexican prison at the time of the ordered hits, he'd promptly escaped and gone on the run when the proceedings for his extradition to the U.S. had begun last year. It was as though he had disappeared into thin air. It turned out he hadn't. Manuel Perrin was coming to New York City today. We knew where, and we knew when. The 10-page arrest package I'd been working on spelled it all out in exhaustive detail. It had surveillance photos of the meeting place, building descriptions, Google Maps. It even had the location and directions from the planned arrest site to the trauma unit of the New York Presbyterian Hospital emergency room, which I was praying we wouldn't need. If all went well today, by 5 o'clock, I'd be at a bar, surrounded by cops and DEA and FBI agents, buying rounds as we toasted our success in taking down one of the most dangerous men on the face of the earth. That was the plan, anyway, and it was a good one, I thought, staring at the pages. But even with all its detail and foresight, I was still wary, nervous as hell, to be perfectly frank, because I knew about plans.